The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
With the Bengals coming up tomorrow, with us already going past the Ravens, it's time we go around the AFC North. And reminding everybody that all guests appear on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we welcome in James Rapine. Find him on Twitter at James Rapine, Sports Illustrated writer for the Cincinnati Bengals down in Cincinnati. First off, James, how do the fans feel about Joe Burrow's performance back on Sunday against the Chargers?
I think they were encouraged by it. And a lot of that had to do with that final drive, which he, and I think a lot of people saw, he led the Bengals downfield. And they scored the go-ahead touchdown, but it was nullified by an offensive pass interference penalty. But after the beating that he took at the hands of the Chargers, where he was getting hit all day, especially in the first half, sacked three times in the first two quarters, the fact that he was able to respond after that awful shovel pass and put them in a position to win, I think fans were encouraged, and they're hopeful that that Burrow is that dude and is going to be a franchise quarterback for the next decade or so.
Overall, we saw what eventually happened in that game and whether or not it was a good call on A.J. Green. But what did people think of the coaching job, and will you be ready on a short turnaround to get ready for the Browns?
A couple things. I think there were people that wanted them, even after the penalty, with 7 seconds to take a quick shot at the end zone, and then you still might have a second or two. They didn't have any timeouts, but you still might have a second or two there to get a final play in. Overall, coaching-wise, I think the big thing is not getting Joe Mixon involved enough in the passing game. You extend him, you're paying him $12 million per year now. He's the sixth highest paid running back in the NFL. And he got 19 carries, but he didn't have a lot of running lanes, and Joe Burrow was getting tattooed. And instead of dropping him back five wide, maybe throw a screen pass or two to number 28. So I think that the play calling that Zach Taylor has had last year, he got a mulligan for, and there were certainly some question marks week one against the Chargers, and we'll see if he can clean it up on a short week. And he's going to have to deal with a really good pass rush again, which I think is going to be a big test for the Bengals offensive line.
You know, James, I didn't get a chance to go back and see everything just yet. I know everybody was excited about getting Jonah Williams finally after the injury that sidelined him for his entire rookie year. The offensive line, still a question mark then down in Cincinnati, even with him on it?
It is, and he played. He settled in. He got off to a little bit of a shaky start, which you'd expect. I mean, it was his first NFL snaps, and he had to go up against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. So that's no easy day at the office. But he settled in, was much better in the second half. But the real concern isn't that left side, which also has Ohio State alum Michael Jordan at left guard. It's the right side. Billy Price, another Ohio State alum, is going to start at right guard this week after Xavier Suafilo went on injured reserve with an ankle injury. And Bobby Hart, who has been bad throughout his entire career, has made 33 straight starts for the Bengals, and the Bengals are going to roll him out there again on Thursday night. And if I'm Myles Garrett, that's where I'm lining up all day long, and I'm attacking Hart, and I'm making him try to block me because I really don't think it's possible one-on-one.
New kicker for you guys this weekend. It is a kicker that you covered when you were in Cleveland. What do you make of that situation? And he's got to be hoping he can do something pretty special in front of the home crowd, even with just very few fans going to be in attendance.
Yeah, I think he's probably hopeful, but the Bengals aren't. I think the Bengals, they claimed him as an insurance policy. I don't think Austin Seibert's going to be active on Thursday, and if he is, it'll be an emergency role, assuming Randy Bullock's good to go, and I think that's what the Bengals did, given COVID-19 protocol and not having an extra kicker on their practice squad. They decided to claim Seibert just in case, with that top waiver priority, just in case Bullock has any kind of issues with those calf muscles that clearly hampered him when he tried to make that game-tying kick the other day. So if Bullock's healthy, I think he's going to start and get all the kicks, but Seibert is more so a backup plan, and I'm really not sure how long he'll be on the active roster past Thursday.
Geno Atkins going to be able to go?
I don't think so, which if I'm the Browns, I'm attacking right there, because it's not just Geno Atkins. Mike Daniels, who started in Atkins' place, he's dealing with the groin. So if he can't play, then you're talking about DJ Reader, who's really, really good against the run, and then Christian Covington and Andrew Brown and a bunch of these young interior offensive linemen, or defensive linemen, rather, that are probably going to struggle, and the depth there isn't great. So if I'm the Browns, I would pound Chubb, I would pound Hunt right in the middle of that defense and make them stop you, especially because the Bengals have young linebackers as well.
Am I a bad person for clapping because he might not be available for you tomorrow and we can run the football better?
No, I get it. I think people are pretty desperate right now, and I totally understand. Look, the pressure's on the Browns. It's funny, Ken. We talked, 3 weeks ago, and you said how the pressure was going to be on Cleveland, and it absolutely is this week, so I totally understand.
The rivalry between these two teams, I never thought that much of the rivalry personally. I never was like, I'm more of a Pittsburgh and Ravens rival. Are the Browns really hated down there? I mean, you seem to be a native son. What's the feeling right now going into this game with that fan base?
I don't know if it's hated. I think that both fan bases like mocking each other, and poking fun at each other, and they have their, their phrases and their little jabs. I think it can become a rivalry, right? I mean, you talk about Burrow and Baker, and that's sort of the key. That's why it really hasn't been a rivalry, because both teams haven't been good together in how long, since the 80s. So I think that's sort of the key here, is if Baker works out for the Browns and Burrow works out for the Bengals, then it will be a rivalry again. And it will be intense, the same, maybe not the same way the Browns look at the Ravens or the Bengals look at the Steelers or vice versa. But I think it could get there again and become more than just, the Battle of Ohio that we remember from the late 90s in the 2000s.
Central, as always, James Rapine down in Cincinnati from Sports Illustrated. We now go to 93.7 The Fan's Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh, where Pony, Big Ben, looks like he's back and as good as he was before the injury.
Yeah, how does that make you feel, Ken?
I'm not here to pick fights. I'm here to get the report. This is what I'm here to do.
Well, you watched the game Monday, looked outstanding. Very efficient Roethlisberger.
The Giants are
touchdowns.
Trash. Let's not discount that. See, I can't do this segment with you because it just becomes a fight. I can't do it. Lima, please.
Well, Pony, we did watch the game, and I thought it was an interesting performance. I still saw some of the mind-numbing throws that Big Ben's known for. I also saw some great throws down the field. And the Steelers do what the Steelers always do, and that defense was scary. Defense was flying around. I was very impressed. Overall, with what I saw, unfortunately, for Browns, we didn't play well. So we look like we're towards the bottom of the division. With that said, do you think everything's fixed for that offense for Pittsburgh?
No, I don't. I still think, all of their wide receivers made some contributions. Juju had 2 touchdowns. Johnson, Deontay Johnson, second-year player, led the team in targets, receptions. James Washington had a touchdown. Chase Claypool really got Ben going with a great sideline catch where he got 2 feet in bounds for his first reception as an NFL wide receiver, the rookie from Notre Dame. You use the Giants caveat. You do say they're playing a team that has won, 9 games in the last 2 years. I mean, some ridiculous number that got Pat Shurmur fired. You got a special teams coordinator promoted as head coach. But they handled their business. It wasn't really ugly. It wasn't like the Steelers hung on for dear life and needed a last-second field goal to win the game. They beat a bad team, and they beat them convincingly. The defense was expected to shine, but the quarterback, I thought, was going to have to shake off rust. It was the first time Ben played a Week 1 game and didn't throw an interception since 2008. So he usually struggles somewhat in the first game. And I thought for his first game in 364 days, he was awesome.
It was a suffocating performance against the run, against the Giants. How is this defense, is anything less than number one in the NFL bad for this defense?
I've said they're the best defense in the league. Now, we can have arguments about how that's measured. I mean, last year they led the league in takeaways and sacks, but they weren't the number one scoring defense in the NFL. That was New England. I know some people like the fancy stats, DVOA and all that. I don't know. I mean, they should be, by most standard statistics, because they've got 8 first-round picks to start. They should be the best defense. They've got guys who see a lot of playing time now, Terrell Edmonds at safety, Vince Williams at inside linebacker, who are great run stoppers. And I think that's going to help them in matchups against Baltimore, Cleveland with your 2 running backs, Joe Mixon in Cincinnati, and obviously Saquon Barkley. And a bad offensive line, I think it does at times, though, leave them vulnerable in the middle of the field against the pass. So that's something that may be an Achilles heel, is that you've got a couple of guys who excel in run defense and not pass defense, and we obviously know there are quarterbacks in the league that can take advantage of that, Ken. Maybe not Baker, though.
Pony,
yeah,
Why are we doing that?
We're talking about the Steelers. We're not talking about the Browns.
Yeah, this isn't inside the Cleveland Browns. This is inside the AFC North.
I thought it was the AFC North. Don't they play
it's around the AFC North?
Yeah, but
we're not inside it. We're actually around it.
Yeah, we're around it. It's a different preposition. Get it through your thick skull, Pony. Come on, you're a Syracuse guy. Hey, I have a question because I got beaten up a little bit when I said on Monday night, and I had some cocktails, but I got beaten up by Steeler Nation because I said Steelers still can't run the ball. And then out of nowhere, Benny Snell rolls off a couple of big runs, and then he got going. But I'm like, you're really counting on Snell, who averaged 3.9 yards a carry last year? Do you think the running game is going to be formidable this year?
Well, first of all, you need a serious mixologist, Lima. You can't drink bitters straight, okay? You got to do a better job with the Manhattan concoctions and Negronis.
What would you throw on the Manhattan? Explain your
twist.
Well,
my wife is a mixologist. I can ask her. She has a Facebook page where she's made some drinks. Maybe I can send you a link.
I don't like adding people's wives to Facebook. I don't like doing that.
This isn't Chagrin Falls, Pony. We can't be doing this, okay?
Yeah, what's the equivalence?
Not how this works. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to move on from that. So, look, Connor, I knew James Connor was going to break down. I didn't think it was going to take 10 plays for it to happen. And so... Snell lost a lot of weight. I didn't buy it. I thought it was one of those training camp stories where they were trying to sell us a bill of goods on somebody being in the best shape of their life. But he passed my eye test in week one. He ran much harder than Connor. He had a burst. It was not a good offensive line. I mean, they did not have David DeCastro, who was an all-pro guard. Late in the game, they lost Banner and Wisniewski. So they were down. They were down two of the guys that came into the game expecting to start, and I still thought Snell, whether it was to the outside where he hit a next level, up the middle where I thought he shed tacklers, he had 220-plus yard runs. I don't know if he's the real deal, but I think he is the best option they have on the roster. The sooner they realize that Connor is better suited for backup work or maybe just short yardage, not even sure if that's the idea, but the quicker they realize that Connor is a backup, the better off they'll be.
Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh as the Steelers host the Denver Broncos coming up on Sunday. We go to Baltimore, and Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as well. We know what the Ravens did. They're on the road at Houston this Sunday, 4:25. Bob, boy, Lamar Jackson just picked up where he left off. Were you a little worried that there might be a little happened last year?
No, because we get Joshua Harris on our program from time to time, who's Lamar Jackson's quarterback guru, and he has spoken glowingly about how Lamar just works and works and works, and the work ethic is undeniable and almost unmatched. And he hears the criticism about being unable to throw outside the numbers or balls in the air deep and a completion percentage under 50%. So he has done everything in his physical being to improve upon that, and he had Marquise Brown down in Florida with him. He had Miles Boykin down in Florida with him. He had Prochet, Duvernay, the two rookies. So he developed a lot of chemistry with the players, as you guys know. No OTAs, no mini camps, and a truncated training camp. So Lamar put the work in. So not surprised at all that the Ravens and he in particular had the success that they did, and the fact that they came out guns a-blazing too.
Bob, who is that quarterback guru?
Joshua Harris.
I mean, what if he could find some more money for him?
Find more money for who?
For Josh Harris.
Oh, yeah. Well, Josh Harris, I think, kind of works in conjunction with the Ravens. I don't know if he's an official employee of Baltimore, but he and James Urban and Greg Roman certainly are on the same page. I think what Joshua does with Lamar is kind of at the behest of what the Ravens might
want to happen. It seems like he's accomplished everything he's going to accomplish with Lamar Jackson. Now, what about Baker? Maybe Baker could use some coaching.
Yeah, Baker, boy, there's a regression, I would think. And, you know, this is just my humble opinion. I thought Odell Beckham Jr. wasn't exactly 100% committed to the action on Sunday either. But, you know, Baker Mayfield's a guy that's got capabilities. You saw it, you know, set the record for touchdown passes by a rookie a couple years ago. But, you know, things seem to be there's a disconnect there somewhere.
What would you do?
With Baker Mayfield?
I'd
ride it out. I mean, I don't think I'd be ready to give up on him yet. Lamar has certainly become the class of that 2018 quarterback class, and I guess Josh Allen has ascended to number two. But, I mean, Baker Mayfield's a guy that's had success, as we said, and, you know, he gave Cleveland a boost during his rookie season. So I'm thinking that Baker Mayfield, there's a good ball player in there somewhere. It's up to Alex Van Pelt and Kevin Stefanski to get it out of him.
Well, so far, that good ball player probably belongs back in the Big 12 from what it looks like so far this year. Bob Haney joining us, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Houston, you guys go to Houston this coming Sunday. That's a team that was embarrassed in their own right last Thursday night. Do you expect to see the same type of team? Is this a 2-0 start for the Baltimore Ravens?
I believe so. Ravens 7-point favorites in this game last time I checked the line. Ravens clobbered them up here last year 41-7. It'll be interesting to see if the Ravens are more committed to the run like Kansas City was last Thursday, going with Edwards-Helaire, who had a big game as a rookie. Last Sunday, J.K. Dobbins was getting the goal line, though, vulture touchdowns for Mark Ingram, which was interesting to see. But does Greg Roman attack Houston on the ground like Kansas City did with great success, or do they come out throwing like they did against the Browns and they're banged up secondary? But I think the Ravens win, and, you know, I'm not a betting man, but I'm very confident that they'll cover the spread, too.
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. All three guests, Bob Haney, Andrew Filippone, James Rapine, all on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline as we go around the AFC North. They are making it official in Chicago. Big Ten football. Lima, you might want to get the switch ready. Big Ten football is on its way back. An announcement coming today that they will start sometime in mid-October, and they will play football in mid-October from what all this looks like. It was reported just a moment ago by Heather Dinich of ESPN. It was first put out there by
Sir
ABC
Yacht.
News. Sir Yacht was in on that. He gets to take a nice victory lap, doesn't he? So we get our Big Ten football back. Do you care? Does it matter? Are you disgusted? We hear from you, and Lima says that he's got somebody sending him emails on how to fix the Cleveland Browns. That coming up at 9:40, live on The Fan.